Reti, tēnā koe, Dr. Reti.
Tēnā koe, good to speak with you.
Yes, I'm just replacing Dale Husband. He's not well, this terrible flu and possibly, you know, has been going around the community, so hopefully he gets well soon.
Yeah, sorry to hear that. Wish him well.
Yes, well, just speaking of the winter plan to ward off winter viruses, the government's announced its plan, and a winter health plan where whānau are enabled to make good decisions and choices. Is this a plan you'd endorse?
It's a plan that's very weak, and if the minister is correct and stands by her statements she made on Q&A that this is the highlight of a year of health reforms, then that's a tragic highlight. If this is as good as it gets for $486 million, this is the most expensive failed plan I can think of. And I say that for several reasons. First of all, a large number of the initiatives are already being undertaken. Secondly, there's no detail and implementation pathway. And thirdly, where is the workforce who's going to do this? It's a great soundbite to say, oh, we'll improve after-hours care. Who does that? If we look at the pharmacy ailments, and I've been supportive of extension of scope for pharmacists, but exactly what conditions are going to be covered? What does the reimbursement look like? There's a whole range of questions and detail that don't appear in the 24 points. And speaking with the sector since it was announced on Friday, many of them are saying, well, this is a wish list. This is not deployable. We see no pathway for any of this to happen. And again, fundamentally, a large part of it comes back to who's the workforce who's going to do all of this? So if this is the highlight of a year of health reforms, then that pretty much sums it up. An undeployable plan that can't be delivered, that's the highlight.
So what would your plan be?
So our health workforce remains the absolute top agenda. If you don't have a health workforce, you can't deploy policies. We need to be doing a better job with retention. And you saw us announce our health policy for nurses and midwives to start addressing retention at the front end of the nursing pipeline. And we'll have more to say about that, about other points through the pipeline. Immigration, just too late to give nurses a day one pathway in December last year. They've already gone to Australia. They've gone to Canada. And now we're going to struggle to compete. We've got those doctors and nurses who are already in New Zealand who are driving Uber Eats. I call them the Uber Eats health professionals. We need to find a way quickly to bring them on board. And then we need to turn on, and it's a longer position, the third bucket, but we need to turn on our own domestic culturally competent pipeline and grow our own homegrown doctors and nurses.
Yes, it seems to be quite difficult to get into a nursing course and then to be able to sustain the training of our nurses when we've got them.
And this is why our plan, we knew it was in the sweet spot because we'd focus grouped it with nurses and nursing leadership to help retain, or first of all, to attract more nurses, people to nursing. Secondly, for those who are midway through their nursing, their student nursing, who are struggling with the cost of living, to give them some confidence that they can take up the, or close to the full amount that the student loan lets you take up for cost of living, which is just over $300 a week, knowing that there was a pathway when they graduate to remedy that. And then thirdly, for those nurses in their first 5 years after graduation who have a student loan, if they stay in the system for 5 years, then effectively bonded for 5 years, then every year they're there, we'll give them $4,500 after-tax student loan relief. And this is exactly why we had a policy like that to try and retain and encourage at the front end of the nursing pipeline.
That sounds amazing. And the Minister of Health says that Te Aka Whai Ora, the Māori Health Authority, is at the table and we're beginning to see change, are we?
No, that's a joke. Explain to me, if the Māori Health Authority is a true partner and overseer of the health system, why do they have to make submissions to Health Select Committee? If they're a partner at a governance level with health officials, why are they making submissions to the Health Select Committee? Is it because their voice is in no shape or form the partnership that it was promised? So, no, I don't buy that at all. And I put it back and say, okay, show me a health outcome. There were 2 years before Health New Zealand, 18 months to 2 years before Health New Zealand was implemented, 1 July last year. We're coming up to the first year anniversary. Show me one outcome that's better. For $486 million of health reform, show me one outcome. Anyone, you choose. One health outcome for Māori that's better. And that's a challenge that the government hasn't been able to do, and that's because we all know it's not.
Well, last week the minister was on the attack in the House, virtually accusing you of manipulating the data on the nursing workforce. What do you say in response to that accusation?
Well, the last thing I'm going to do is have a data letter from a minister who said that Northland Emergency Department was almost completely the target, when in fact they were calling out for the army, and the data was so bad, all of it had to be taken down. So I'm not going to have lessons from a minister who put up data that was so badly wrong, and I'll stand behind the data that she sent to me in a ministerial answer. It was her data. And when we put out the media release on the Friday, we made it very clear that this data did not take into account nurses who had moved or been reemployed. In fact, what you saw here was an attempt to distract from the content of the policy, which was a good policy. And it's just the politics of envy that they didn't have enough intellectual nous to get to a policy that would have some cred. So they thought, well, let's talk about the messenger rather than the message. And I think New Zealanders have seen through it.
And how is the health, you know, the health system working up north? Is it working?
Oh, it's a crisis all over the country and up north in Tairawhiti and others that have particular areas of low socioeconomic vulnerability. It's struggling even more. And, you know, I think this was a disappointment. There was an opportunity on Q&A this weekend for the minister just to say, yes, this is a crisis and here's what we're going to do with it. In fact, what she did was double down and say, there is no health crisis. And, you know, we may look back and that will be the penultimate nail in the coffin, saying you've been given many opportunities to call it what it is, to call it what everyone in New Zealand apart from you and Andrew Little think it is. It is a health crisis. It's six letters. And what you do by acknowledging those six letters is acknowledge that you've got your finger on the pulse, that you're in touch, and it brings some urgency. But she doubled down and said, there is no health crisis. Wrong. I think we'll look back and say, well, you're given many opportunities to show the sector that you understand, and you chose not to. Here's an electoral consequence.
If there is a health crisis, well, there is a health crisis. So what do you think needs to be done right now to correct this?
Health workforce. Nearly all the pathways to pain and health are due to health workforce. And yes, there's some infrastructure components as well around needing bed spaces. But, you know, you can build new facilities, and if you don't have people to staff it, it doesn't help. So health workforce remains a prime concern, retaining what we've got, attracting what we need from overseas, credentialing those who are already here, and then turning on our own domestic culturally competent doctor and nursing schools of training, medical schools and nursing schools. That's where our solutions need to be. And, you know, unfortunately, the track record, giving nurses a day one pathway to residency years after it had been called for just before Christmas, too late. They've gone to Canada. They've gone to Australia. So we're behind the eight ball already due to choices. There were choices. This government could have turned on that pathway 18 months ago, 2 years ago. They chose not to. And so now we're paying a consequence of that.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure hearing your viewpoint and your assessment of what's going on in our health workforce. Nga mihi kia koe.
Kia pai tō rā. Good to speak with you.